So over the lunch hour, I decided what I better do is do a lot of table hopping, and I went to 5 different tables to try and find out whether, you know, to get some kind of idea as to how we should move ahead and what we should do. Well, I'll tell you what I got. I got 5 different opinions. But there is a very strong opinion to start moving ahead. And there's also a very strong feeling that we should, basically the 3 values that we talked about and pulled out the other day, they were the local representation as defined and discussed by Ken, which, you know, broadly interpret incorporates a lot of things, and of course that seats, mayor votes, and that there be more voter choice being defined in a broad sort of way, are 3 kinds of values that we do hold, and there was a feeling that we ought to indicate our expression of general support for those and then to move on to some other things. Do we have general support for those values? Okay. So those values stand. However, remember, nothing is decided until everything is decided. Okay? There's one last thing I would like to do, because we made the promise in 2 or 3 groups. We're going to spend about 15 minutes prior to getting on to choosing options that we're going to work on and look at the design elements. We're going to take about 15 minutes, and I'm going to ask you this question, and Christina is going to put up there on the screen for us and something which we can use in various ways. What is most important to you when you make your choice on some voting system? You talked about it as unintended consequences. Wilf talked about having less party control over the, less party discipline over the MLA, greater accountability. What are those attributes of governance and politics in this province would you most like to see as a result of you choosing an electoral system? Think about that for a minute. Talk to your neighbor for a minute if you'd like, and then we're going to put these on the screen. And we're going to do it in about 15 minutes. You've got 2 minutes to think. Yes? The question. What would you most like to see happen as a result of a new electoral system? What kinds of changes would you like to see in how we're being governed in politics? Such as, you know, less party control, discipline, etc. Talk to your neighbor. I'm going to call, and then I'll ask for suggestions in about 2 minutes. Okay, let's go. We're going to start with Wendy, because she says she's been thinking about this for 3 months. Wendy.
Not 3 months.
3 minutes.
No. I got a little thing I wrote up, so I would just like to say it. I think that our desire is to have an effective legislature that is truly responsive to the people of BC.
Just a little bit slower.
No, I get nervous. I think that we want a legislature that pays attention to us throughout their term and not just around election time.
Okay.
All of our talk about coalition and minority governments, about minority representation and small parties getting seats, is really about having a responsive legislature. And also it is about having a governing system that does not drastically change direction.
You're going a little too fast for Christina.
Too fast for Christina? Just one little bit more.
If you look at the screen, you'll be able to see what we're doing. Okay, carry on.
And also it is about having a governing system that does not drastically change direction with each change in government. I think that we want
to Okay, try and make them real short if you can.
I'm almost finished.
Okay.
I think that we want a legislature that provides real leadership. As Smith, Submission 19, states, leadership means more than making the right decision in the face of opposition. It means convincing the people that oppose you that your decision is right, whether they like it or not. Majority governments can bully their way, but minority and coalition governments must actually lead.
Okay, I think we all have a pretty good understanding of what we mean by leadership here. Okay, and second is Gladys. Where are you, Gladys? There you are.
I would like to see every vote count.
Okay. Rick.
Great, thanks, Rick. Yeah, Cheryl and I were just quickly talking, and a couple we'd like to have up there was accountability and also people feeling more involved with democracy.
Craig, you're next. Which Craig is it?
Coalition government.
Darren?
I would like to see a system where an independent has a reasonable chance of election in any riding.
Okay. Frankie?
Open nomination process.
Pardon me?
Open nomination process.
Okay. Open nomination process. Who's next? Diane?
I would hope that we would have more open debates in the chamber as opposed to backroom deals.
Okay. Tanis. Where's Tanis?
I'd like to see our legislature more accurately represent the diversity of our province.
Okay. Who's next? Mo. Mo.
I talked to my neighbor. And she said...
Yeah, we've noticed Amanda has a hard time speaking for herself.
Easy to understand.
Easy to understand. Next. Mary, who's next? Mary.
I don't need that, I don't think. More incentive for voters turnout. That's what I'd like to see. And more say for the MLAs.
Sam, then Julie.
I would like to see a public servant actually serve the public.
Okay, Julie.
May or may not have been brought up that there be more responsiveness.
On the part of the governing party?
Yep.
Douglas.
To follow up what Mary said, increased participation, but at the younger level, the age 19 to 25, where voter turnout is really dropping.
Okay. Nick. Nick, where are you?
Yeah. Let's see. A little less party discipline, ergo more accountability to the electorate. A more consensual government and more accurate representation in government.
Great. Now, if it's already been listed, by the way, don't list it again, okay? Wendy up top.
I'd like to see equal gender representation as just as we have here.
Okay. Barbara. Okay, good. And that, repeat, that's great. Who's next? Shannon. Janice. Janet, sorry. Where's Janet?
Here. I was just going to say more representation by women and minority groups, but it has come under to other things.
Harley, and get Will. Harley.
Okay, I'd like to see a lot better behavior in our legislature. That's one. And I'd like to see a system that eventually leads us to more open referenda and polling of the voters themselves. And my third one that hasn't been mentioned yet is I'd like to see some sort of restrictions on how elections or campaigns are financed so that elections can't be bought and sold.
Ann? Where are you? Ann? Oh, up there. Okay.
I think mine's been said by now, but I said consensus decision-making based on voter wishes.
Good. Cliff.
More choices for the voter.
Sean. Good. Maybe we're running out of them. Wilt.
Could we expand the accountability, which has been mentioned a couple times, to be more specific, accountability of the Premier and Cabinet to the legislature and of the MLAs to the people who elect them to their constituents?
Thank you. And Will? Sorry to miss you.
A more effective opposition?
Okay. George?
More effective local representation.
Okay. And Wayne?
I'd like to see less power to the party leaders and dilute the decision-making throughout all the MLAs.
Okay. And David? We've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. What I'd like to see is the nomination process not being controlled centrally by the parties.
Okay. The next is... Michelle.
I think it's already up there now, but specifically more choice on the ballot.
Okay. We got three more. Norm?
I'd just like to say that I think the 3 points that we went over before lunch sum all these points up very well. Thanks.
Okay. Craig? Shoney, and then that's it. Where's Craig?
Yeah. I like a ballot which lets me portray myself not as a single-dimensional person, but a multi-dimensional person.
Okay. I think we understand what that means. Shoney.
Just adding to the comments on nominations, a democratic nomination process.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you very much. And clearly there was an expression to want to get your preferences for the results of electoral system out, and we there have done that. We will keep this list, by the way, and we'll circulate this list. We'll certainly give it to groups. We'll probably revisit this list and come back at some time and kind of work it over and perhaps group it a little bit, but revisit it, okay? So we are now. I'm going to ask now Ken to lead us through the decisions of the overall kinds of general agreement we have on the three basic values and what that means to us in making a decision about choosing some options that we're going to work on in more detail. Ken.
Well, I guess this is where we were when we broke for lunch. And in some sense, in your conversation with Jack a few minutes ago, you essentially agreed to that. And so maybe it's worth just taking a second to kind of sharpen this in our minds, that if you want a system with some amount of local representation, some kind of local representation, is that right? That you are then effectively saying that we're really ruling out as a serious contender then a kind of full list electoral system, you know, whether it's an Israeli or Dutch or various kind of Scandinavian versions where there's kind of a province-wide list system. I didn't put that in. If we want a system to provide some element of proportionality, does that seem to be the general position? Well, if we do that, then you're effectively saying that we want to rule out any further consideration of a full majority electoral system, because a full majority electoral system, whether it's AV or runoffs, like in France or Australia, is likely to produce a system that's even probably less proportional than the one we have now. So essentially then the Assembly has said that. Whether this is going to work? Apparently not. And finally, that maximizing voter choice in one way or another. And a lot of the things we've just talked about and that you've listed up are the kinds of considerations that are going to lie behind decisions as to what this will mean in practice. Because all of those things will guide some kind of assessment of the various components of a particular system. So we can ask, I guess, what electoral systems meet those citizens' assembly criteria. We've been basically working with five systems. We have plurality system, that's the one we have now, list proportional systems, majority systems, single transferable vote systems, and mixed systems. And those are the basically the five big families, the range of choices within which one can operate. Well, plurality system is, of course, the benchmark. You know, it is on the table, and it's essentially against which the assembly will have to make some kind of decision at the end of the day, whether an alternative they might invent will be as good as or better than that, and therefore it might be worth recommending to the public. List PR. Well, essentially, you've said that those kind of families fail. And it fails because it doesn't meet the fundamental criteria of providing for some kind of local representation that's effective and is meaningful. So that we're ruling out whole kinds of families. Majority systems, well, basically, Assembly has said, by adopting the notion that it wants to have a system where there is more functionality, that we can't go down that road in any useful or effective way. Single transferable vote system, well, that would appear to be possible because it provides for local representation and proportional representation, albeit in its own distinctive ways. Mixed systems, they're obviously possible too because they can provide for both of those kinds of things. So that would seem to suggest that in terms of the kinds of broad family framework alternatives, that there are two roads that one could go down. And so at this stage of the game, the assembly would have to then say, well, what would an acceptable STV, what would an acceptable mixed system look like in British Columbia? And so the challenge really for the assembly now is to, in fact, identify that, to define that, begin to put some kind of framework within which one of these systems might be adopted. And the kind of criteria you're going to obviously use to make those decisions are precisely those things that were just listed up on the screen, because those are the things that are the point of the exercise and lie behind the positions you might take on any of those things. Well, if you think about an STV system, you can think about the kinds of decisions you're going to have to make to design an STV system. Now, the first one is you're going to have to make some decisions about district magnitude. That speaks to the proportionality. We know that lower district magnitudes are going to produce a less proportional system. Higher district magnitudes are going to produce the possibility of a more proportional system. So you need to think about, well, what kind of district magnitudes do you want? What would be appropriate for British Columbia? 3? 14? 2? Well, that's going to be guided by your kind of understanding of what it needs to do and what local representation would mean in these kinds of contests. But having decided what size of district magnitude, you have to ask yourself the second question, well, should it be the same in every single district, or might there be variations across the province? I think Tasmania, they have the same number in every district. In Ireland, they use different sizes. They use different sizes in urban areas and rural areas, and even rural areas vary, and they have 3 and 4 and 5 member districts in that country. Tasmanians, I think, are all 7? Now, they were for quite a while all 7, now they're all 5. So those are the basic kinds of things you need to think about and decide on. And, you know, that decision is going to be informed by your kind of understanding what will work in the province. Second thing is you need to decide, okay, what would be the quota that would be used? And basically, it's probably a choice between a hair quota and a droop quota. For those of you who can't carry that stuff around in your head, that probably includes me, there are discussions in David Farrell exactly what those quotas are, and Campbell's got them kind of worked out for district magnitudes, and you can kind of see that. It represents the minimum number of votes needed to kind of guarantee a seat. It's just the way in which the seats are calculated. So what kind of quota would you want to use? And there are debates about the effects of different kind of quotas. The third kind of decision you'd have to make is, well, what kind of ballot would you want to have for a single transferable vote? How would you want to organize the candidates? Would you want to list them by party? Would you want to list them alphabetically? Would you want to randomize so that everybody's ballot was different? So that Harley would get one, we got a ballot that had candidate 1, 2, 3 in that order, and Jack might get one that might have 2, 3, 1, so people would have to actually go and find the name. So there's a number of ways in which ballots could be ordered to provide for that kind of preferential. I think in Ireland they organize them alphabetically, in Tasmania they organize them by party. But And those probably have different consequences for the extent of kind of straight party voting or not that go on, because they send subtle but signals to the voters. And what kind of completion rules? Remember, a single transferable vote says you should rank order your candidates first preference, second preference, third preference. You're going to make people rank order all the preferences on the ballot paper? That's what they do in the Australian Senate, even if there's 40 or 50 names. You've got to rank 1 to 50 or it doesn't count. But you could say, rank as many as you want. That's what the Irish do. You can rank 1 or you can rank 3 or you can rank 4 or whatever. The Tasmanians say you have to rank as many as there are people to be elected. So if there's 5 people to be elected in a 5-person district, you've got to give at least the first 5. You can go on or you can stop, but you have to get that far. So there's a kind of set of decisions, and those will have, kind of, again, different kind of consequences for the way the parties work. Let me see. Then there's the question of the transfer rules, and these really basically speak to the mechanisms by which at what time second preferences are counted, and do you transfer surpluses before you eliminate people and so on. Those are kind of technical questions that we can tidy up at the end if you decide on that. But some statement about that, and there are 2 or 3 pretty standard ways of doing that that would have to be dealt with. And finally, the question of what happens if there's a vacancy in the seat. A member dies or gets appointed to the Senate of Canada or becomes a lieutenant governor, all kinds of things that might happen. How do you fill that seat? You could have a by-election, but it can't be a proportional one if there's only one seat to be elected, so then you turn it into something else, or you might go back and recount ballots and have the next person on the list. There's a range of different kinds of alternatives. So if you're thinking about an STV system, you have to go away and make decisions about all these kind of things. You'll have the kind of consequences that we've talked about. And that is essentially your challenge, because no one else can do it for you. If you want that kind of system, you have to make decisions on these sorts of things. Okay, what will we have to decide if you came to look at an MMP system? What would be the kind of set of decisions you'd need to make? Well, first, you have to make some decision on the principle of the mix. Remember, mixed systems provide for a possibility of combining constituency with proportional elements. The proportional can compensate for the disproportionality in the constituency level. That's what we call a proportional system. Or it can be quite independent of it. It can just be a proportional part and a non-proportional part. Those are called the parallel. Those are the so-called MMM systems. So what basic principle of the mix do you want? And of course, it could be a compensatory, this is kind of super light kind of principle, where you might say, well, we're only going to have 5 extra proportional seats as a way of making sure, for instance, the leaders of minor parties all get a seat. But we're not going to even pretend to go near proportionality. It's a kind of super light compensatory kind of system. And if you went that way, then the question is, how do you identify who's to be compensated and so on? So first of all, you need to start with the principle of the mix that you're talking about. The second thing is you have to decide what's the appropriate balance between local seats and the list seats that are in the proportional part of the system. Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40? Is it 2/3, 1/3? And that balance is quite important because it will have a big impact on how proportional the system can be made. It's probably, in a legislature the size of ours in British Columbia, very difficult once you get much below probably 40% list seats to provide for kind of full proportionality. So full proportionality was an important value. You're probably going to have close to 40% of the seats as list as a minimum. You could obviously go higher if you wanted. But there will be probably a fairly significant difference in the way the legislature works, the balance of the kinds of members, depending on what those proportions are, and what government and opposition parties look like in that kind of situation. So that would be the second element that you'd have to make a decision on. And that's just a pure number kind of thing. Thirdly, there's the whole question about who can run in these two parts of the system, because it's a mixed system and there's 2 quite different parts. Can candidates run in the local part and on the list part? Or can they run in only one or the other? And different places that use mixed systems make different decisions about that. If they can't run on both, then, of course, you avoid the so-called zombie problem. It just doesn't, it's not an issue. It's a perfect way to deal with it. On the other hand, if you separate them like that and don't let them allow, don't let them run in both halves, you kind of separate the interests of the candidates in curious ways. Some systems actually require them to run on both as a way of forcing the candidates in both parts of it to kind of work together in their party interests. So some kind of decision about that, and those will have enormous probably impacts on the way in which intra-party competition particularly works and the way in which the two kinds of members relate in the legislature. Do they see themselves as part of the same enterprise or separate enterprises, or what's the nature of that relationship? The fourth thing you'll need to do is what we call the, well, it's hard to think of a name for it. I call it the list constituency access compatibility provisions. This is to avoid the so-called Italian trick. The Italians invented an MMP system, but they didn't have any kind of firm rules as to the ways in which people had access to the list, so that the Forza Italia, which was Mr. The Prime Minister's party, said, well, we're going to run in all the constituencies, but we're not going to run on the list. But then another party with a completely different name, maybe it was a different party, quite sympathetic to their position, ran on the list and got 25% of the vote or whatever it was, and they said, well, we have no constituency seats, so we're entitled to 25% of the whole assembly. Well, it was the Prime Minister's party under a different name, and so they were able, some might call it cheating, some might call it a clever trick, but they effectively were able to turn what was supposed to be a proportional system into a parallel system. And so the question is, if you're going to have access to the list, do you have to run a certain number of candidates? And do you have to run them under a certain label? And how many would you have to do? So there, you need to have some kind of rules about that to make sure that the system works as you intended, and so that parties can't manipulate it one way or another. The fifth thing you need to decide in a mixed system is how many votes do voters get? Do they get two, one for the local candidate and one for the party, or they just get one? In that case, they'd cast a vote for their local candidate. Those would be summed up and counted as the party votes. Mixed systems in which that are invented by big parties often to say to the voters, well, let's give you one vote. If voters have two votes, they're encouraged to split their vote, vote for a candidate of one party and on the party side, a different party. The parties are not always keen that their voters should show that kind of independence and split their votes. So the question is, do you want that kind of vote splitting to go on with the attendant kind of consequences? If you allow people to have two votes, by and large, that's going to help smaller parties. People won't feel they're wasting their vote by doing that. So that is a question that you need to deal with. The next thing you have to deal with in a mixed system is the rules for the constituency seats. You could have them as first past the post as we have now, but obviously you could go to some other kind of system, and the, I suppose, most apparent potential would be maybe a kind of majority principle, a preferential runoff, so that people would have to build majorities at the constituency level. So that is an option for that side of the system. That would probably make that part of the system a little bit less proportional, but you might not care now if the rest of the system was going to compensate for it. It wouldn't have the same kind of disadvantages that a majority system in full flight would possibly have. And some would argue the advantage of that then was that that would encourage parties to signal who their kind of partners were in terms of who they were asking their own supporters to give second and subsequent preferences to. But that, so that's a possibility too. But some decisions about the constituency seats would need to be made. Okay, so we've gotten through. So we've got decide on the principle, decide on the balance, decide on candidate eligibility, the list constituency relationship, the number of votes, and the constituency seats. Now you have to make a series of decisions about how you want the PR part of the system to work, and there are a number of decisions to be made here. First of all, do you want the list to be regional or province-wide? And there are consequences for the way parties are going to operate in that particular decision. And that's a kind of principled decision, but it has consequences for the way the system works. The second question is, okay, how do you want the, at what level do you want the seats allocated? That is, do you want them to be allocated in terms of the province-wide proportionality or perhaps a regional proportionality? And then once they've been allocated, the question of who's going to actually get them? Will they come off a national list or a local list? And there are various combinations. The New Zealanders say, well, we're going to decide the proportional part in terms of nationwide proportionality, and there's going to be one national list, and people are going to come off that in the order the parties produce. The Germans say, well, we're going to decide proportionality in terms of the country, but we're going to actually assign who gets the seats in terms of region so that some of them are going to come from the various regions. In Scotland and Wales, they say, well, no, we're going to do proportionality only within the regions, and then the people are going to come from those regions. So there are a number of possibilities on that dimension. And a national allocation and a national assignment is going to be much more proportional overall in terms of the provincial whole than will doing it like the Scots or the Welsh do it, because there's slippage at each region. Okay, ballot form. Well, here's the question of whether you want an open or closed list. And if it's an open list, what's it going to look like? What kind of choices are voters going to have? What are the counting rules of that going to be? And I'm sure you'll remember from reading about open lists is that virtually everybody who has them does it a little bit differently, and there's a wide range of ways in which you can do it. Some of it really is open in name only, but in practice, most voters are faced with a set of choices that really reduce them to voting the way the party wants. Others make it impossible for you to vote the way the party wants because they don't allow the parties to tell you. Then you have to decide about the formula. I mean, how many seats are going to be allocated to these various parties anyway? And there's a number of formula, the Hunt formula and the Senlegu formula and so on. And I put the page numbers in Farrell there as a kind of reminder in which he just kind of discusses those. And they have a little bit of, some of them produce a little bit more proportionality than others. But some decision about how that has to be made. And finally, the question, not quite finally, almost finally, the question of thresholds. Is there going to be one? What kind of threshold? And that, I'm going to answer that question, but why would you want one anyway, and what would you want it to do? What would it look like? So what kind of threshold, and how big a threshold? Some countries just say a certain percentage of the vote. Others say a certain number of local seats, and you can specify those at different levels. So there's that question. And finally, there's the question of overhang seats. This gets a little bit complicated compared to the rest of the stuff, but basically, you can have proportional systems in which if a party sweeps all the constituencies, there aren't enough proportional seats left over to get to full proportionality for the other parties. So do you take seats away from the other parties to that they wanted the constituency level to balance that? Or you just say, well, for that current parliament, there'll be a few extra seats to get up to proportionality. Those are the so-called overhang seats. The Germans use those, and some years there's virtually none, some years there's more. And that's a function of the vote share levels and the number of constituencies won. Douglas.
Ken, is that going to be allowed within our mandate, considering that we're only allowed to have 79 seats?
Well, then you'd have to make some statement about what happens. You have to recognize that the overhang phenomenon might exist out there and say something about what the consequences for parties are. But I suppose you could recommend that if this was the principle, that in any one parliament there might have to be an extra seat to provide for this or something like that. At least you have to address the problem. And finally, you have to make rules about how you provide for vacancies for both those kinds of seats, the constituency kind and the list kind, if that's what the particular mix is. Most systems use quite different kinds of rules. They typically have by-elections in constituency seats and go back to the lists and list seats, but I imagine you could invent something else if you wanted. John.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, this must be my lucky day. I'm on the 13th floor, and 13th time I try to ask questions, and somehow our colleagues and frequent speaker did not allow me to ask questions,
okay.
But this is not what I want to talk about. Since Prince George, hundreds and hundreds of submissions and presentation, it came clear that the majority of our assembly is leaning toward two systems. The SDV or the mixed proportional system. It sounds so beautiful. We spend lots of time on these two systems, but we should live in an enchanted garden if we would believe everything is true about it. It's so great when I hear Uncle Freddy or Tante Betty is going to look after my interest in the provinces. So we are going to love this new rewritten districts, and we are going to solve all the problems for the whole province, except we gave too much time to these two systems and very little time we gave to the open least proportional system. And I love both, all the system. Every system is better than what we got now. But we do not only have to find the best system for the province, we have to find a system that has a credible chance to win the referendum. If we don't win the referendum, all this talk about district magnitude and equality and proportionality is meaningless. Our 1 year of work is gone down to the wind. And if when we lose this referendum in my lifetime, it's never going to be a government who is going to propose another referendum. So be very careful what we are discussing, and we want to please our friends, but we have to please the majority of the people. And there is no right system. No, any system is going to have someone left behind. But we have to see not only the electoral system, but we have to see further. The referendum is the main point. It's not in our mandate, but this is the way it is. All our work is in vain when the referendum is not won. So we have to work toward a system that have a chance with the population to attend the vote.
John, we have not yet made a decision yet as to whether or not there's going to be a referendum.
We have to make a decision that would appeal to the population of British Columbia so they could come out to vote on the referendum.
Well, we haven't made that decision yet.
I understand. But the percentage of the referendum is so written against the success of a referendum that we need to maximize the voter input. They have to come out to vote. And they are not coming to come out if we are going to decide on a system which is complicated, and the average voter who never voted in his life is not going to read them, he's not going to listen to it, and not going to come out to it.
Okay, John, that will be a debate when we start comparing kinds of systems. And let's keep the questions to Ken's design elements for now. And I think there was Wilf and then Ralph have questions.
Campbell's just going to hand around, in effect, what these slides are. And I think that if these are the two roads you have identified as open and possible, you simply have to get down to kind of identifying the answers to these questions so that you will have produced what you think is the best STV system and the best MMP system, and then you can judge them. You can't judge them in some sense in the abstract without answering the kind of questions that make up any given system.
Wilf.
Yes, thank you. On number two, the balance between local and list seats, I wonder if we could also mention there the effect that will have on constituency size.
Well, of course, and that's exactly obvious. The more list seats you have, the fewer the local ones are, and the bigger they'll have to be. I think that's precisely the kind of consideration that ought to lie behind a decision about that. And lying behind that, of course, is a concept of how you think what local seats are and how they ought to be operated. I mean, the concepts of local representation are implicitly behind the kind of decision you come to on that. Exactly right. And similar kinds of questions underlie decisions on all these things.
Ralph.
I just have a question regarding list systems specifically, and it's with respect to independent candidates. How are they accounted for? Or are you familiar with any system
that allows for an independent to come off a list as opposed to a constituency seat?
I guess it would depend on the rule. If you could have a one-person party list, they'd effectively be an independent. You know, their chances of getting a they'd have to get a proportionate share. And if it was a province-wide share or a region-wide share, that might be very, very difficult. In practice, I think mixed systems, the only realistic place where where independents have much chance is in at the constituency level. Even then, we know how difficult it is for independents to win in constituency level politics in this country. There is a constitutional issue, a potential constitutional issue around that. Section 3 of the Charter of Human Rights says that all citizens have the right to vote and the right to be a candidate. And so there does have to be probably somewhere in the electoral system you devise, there has to be the possibility that independent candidates can get on the ballot. And I guess a judge in the Supreme Court would say would have that in more than just a purely formal nominal way. There would have to be some realistic alternative. But we're actually getting the Law Commission of Canada has had some legal advice on that, and we're sorting it out. Well, I don't know.
Derek.
Yeah, just to clarify, legal advice is being sought on all this from constitutional lawyers as to every aspect of the system that we choose that will be done, and it's not up to us, I trust.
What I've done so far on that one, I've had different kinds of advice in that, including asking, of course, Ken Carty. But I was asked by Jack McDonald to suggest that we ought to. I have advised the Attorney General's office of the possibilities that could result from the deliberations and decisions of the Assembly and the various models that could arise, including, of course, no decision at all to change. But I've apprised them of the potential models and that we would be interested in their comment on constitutionality. And we have a member, by the way, of the AG's office listening to this conversation as we speak. Right? Right here. Okay? Next, for Ken. Is that it? Ken, you've just...
David, I guess. I see him. And there's someone.
Ken, it may not be relevant, but I believe in Malta, in their STV system, they have a special provision in the unlikely event, although it has occurred a couple of times, where because they essentially have two parties, that one party can get some 51% of the seats and 48% of the votes, and they've got a provision of an extra seat or something so that they don't get wrong winner scenarios. Is that something that's so unlikely to occur in a multi-party system we don't have to worry about it in STV?
If the voter to politician ratio is pretty evenly balanced, generally is in STV systems. And you're talking about a two-party system, a very narrowly balanced two-party system. You can get that kind of outcome that Malta had. I think they had it actually twice in the 1980s. They have very evenly balanced socialists and Catholic parties that have been fighting each other since time began. And so they did have to provide a kind of escape clause for a wrong winner kind of scenario. But I think no other STV system has ever produced that kind of outcome. So whether it's unique to Malta or not, you have to think it is, and that has to be something to do with just the two parties and the kind of balance and the way their seats are organized.
Ken, Lil is next over here.
Way back in January when we first started doing this, you mentioned that there was something in the Constitution with the size of the number of persons in each electoral riding as compared to the minimum number of persons in each electoral riding. Could you refresh our memories on that? Because I think that's going to be germane.
Yeah, the courts have said that electoral districts have to be more or less equal. And more or less means no more than 25% higher than the average, no less than 25% lower. That jurisprudence is written in the context of a constituency-based plurality system. Proportional systems, in some sense, take away that concern because that the gross level, the aim is to make a party share representatives' votes. Where they come from is in some sense irrespective. So proportional systems kind of correct for those kinds of disproportionalities at the local level. Now, what the court would say in jurisprudential terms around PR, we don't know, because certainly our courts and the British high courts have never had to make jurisprudence around proportional systems. I would have thought that it would be certainly proved that constituency, single-member constituencies have about the same proportion of voters, that they fall within that kind of range. Otherwise, the courts might well look at them a bit askance.
Alan.
Ken, I don't want to flog a dead horse. The recall provisions for the MLAs is hugely popular. And basically, how are we going to do we need to address this issue for in the STV and the MMP scenario? I mean, how do you recall a list member?
Well, it's not in our mandate, and I think that would become an anomaly in the law. And a legislature would have to kind of go and look at that, because the provisions have to do with collecting signatures in the member's district and so on, and PR list members might not have districts in that same identifiable way. So we might, in other considerations, if you recommend an MMP system, point out, oh, by the way, this raises some questions about recall, and we recommend the legislature attend to this in the appropriate way. Because there are a number of things that are like that, Alan, that probably will affect other kinds of laws, and they will have spillover consequences. Legislatures, some of them will be thought of, and some of them won't be thought of. They'll sort of just pop up, and legislatures will have to deal with them.
Sheila.
So, question quite different from all the others, I think. For our deliberations, is there a rule or a guideline where one tends to try to have an odd number of seats in the legislature?
Campbell's dying to answer that one.
Go ahead.
Come.
And there's an obvious logic.
In any system where there's majority votes, then it's crazy not to have an odd number. In other words, you've got a speaker who has a casting ballot. If you don't have a system like that, you have an even number, then you have to have special rules about how you choose the chair, and whether the chair can't have a casting vote, he or she may have a deliberative vote. It's always struck me as bizarre that people who design the size of legislatures as lower houses don't realize that there are major structural problems if you have an even number. So I would like to see in other considerations, expressing an opinion for the first and only time, that odd numbers are required.
Is that a position or an interest?
I'm not familiar with the lingo.
But you see that there's a kind of logic to that, Sheila. That, yeah.
Carrie.
Are there, in other MMP electoral systems throughout the world, are there rules governing that MLAs from a list are not allowed to swap parties? Or what kind of a situation should we be looking at in an electoral system that we might pick with MMP?
Yeah, well, there are basically four genuine MMP systems in working democracies out there that are easily identified: Germany, New Zealand, Scotland, and Wales. It did become an issue in New Zealand. And they have basically decided that when it became a kind of problem, that if you were a list MP and you changed sides, changed parties, you lost your seat. If you were a constituency MP, you didn't. I mean, so you need to make different rules because members have different kind of connections. I mean, that's a kind of version of the recall problem that Alan was talking about, that they may well affect members differently. So you need to kind of think about that. But that's not a necessary part of the actual election of these members. So we wouldn't necessarily have to speak about that. We could let the legislature worry about it if people started doing that. They could decide whether if they didn't like it, they could pass a rule saying, well, you're going to lose your seat. You might want to speak to it in other considerations in an MMP system. But see, immediately it does create another way in which the kind of members are different. And if you're trying to have a system in which you minimize the differences between kinds of members, you might want to think about that. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure what the Germans do. Campbell, do you know offhand? No, we don't know what they do. And the New Zealanders have done a number of other... they've changed the way they vote in their parliament. Hillary knows way more about these things than I do because of their kind of notions of proportionality, too. So what happens is that a series of subsequent kind of rules and considerations kind of get thought up, and the New Zealanders never thought about that when they changed their system, and then suddenly it started to happen, so they made a rule about it.
Wealth.
The party has a list. The candidates are appointed from that list. Can the party also unseat that candidate? Or once appointed, is he an MLA for the rest of the term?
Once they're elected, they're an MLA for the rest of the term. Except the New Zealand case, where they passed a law saying if you change sides, they're automatically unseated. That's now a law in New Zealand, but it's not the party that's doing it. It's the statute.
Hardy.
Well, now that we've seen this presentation, I'm just kind of curious. I'm trying to read the group, like maybe Jack tries to. But where's the third system or group? I think it's time to move on here, in the sense that if there is a third alternative that we should consider and build, I think it's time to hear about it.
Douglas.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, the third system is currently what we have, the first-past-the-post system, with maybe some tweaking, maybe just a matter of changing the ballot structure.
Alternative vote?
Yep.
That makes it a majority system.
Yeah. Something that may happen, maybe some fine changes to our current system. That is the third one we're referring to. If there isn't anything we can do that fits, well, that takes it off the list then.
Ken, do you want to speak to this?
No, I don't think so. I think Douglas put it clearly.
Oh, Norm.
I thought when Ken put it up on the board earlier before these slides that we basically rejected a third system based on our values of what we're looking for.
Well, I mean, mixed systems, of course, there are so many different kinds of mixes that you might want to define the differences between different kinds might, you know, effectively be almost a different kind of system. You could imagine... Well, no. I won't say something that I hadn't thought about. Well, actually, I do it quite a lot, but try not to there.
We have in week 4, decision 6, task 6, we're mandated, by the way, to look again at the current system and review very carefully its implications for governance, its strengths, its merits, and drawbacks, which we looked at before. And then we compare it against whatever it is we think is the best alternate at the time. Other than that, we up till now have no provision for altering or making recommendations, any changes to the current system. Now, Douglas has suggested that we choose a third option to build. Ken suggests that it is contrary, in a sense, to the three basic values that we chose, but that doesn't mean we can't be a little inconsistent in some kinds of things. But we would want to make sure that there is a very, very clear preference of members to do that, because you would, in a way, be modifying one of the positions you took earlier. Ken, have I got that about right?
Sounds right.
Well, that's really good. Tanis, you want to say something?
Maybe one day people around the world will be referring to the BC Citizens Assembly system.
Anybody, in addition to Doug, well, Doug wants to speak again, would anyone else like to speak for Julie? I mean, I'm talking about another option, like 3, like the first-past-the-post version 2. Julie.
We are referring to MMP as a system, and it may very well be might be that we have two different MMP systems, very distinct from each other, that we'd like to consider, plus STV. And so I'm saying that the third system is necessarily the FTP system, or first past the post system tweaked. Maybe MMP, it's a nice short acronym, but it can mean many different things, no?
MMP is a big ten.
I know that. So what I'm saying is maybe in our systems, if we're saying we want to consider more than one combination is all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, Julie makes a good point, I think. I mean, you could say you wanted a mixed system, but you wanted to choose between a mixed member proportional and a mixed member parallel or majority system. And those are two kinds of mixed systems that differ on the fundamental principle of the mix. And so they may represent two alternatives. So, yes, I mean, that clearly would be a kind of third route. I mean, because mixed are so big that at some level, they really could represent in principle quite different kind of systems. So that's, I think that's quite a fair observation.
Craig, Sam, and Douglas.
In response to sticking with two, we can't forget that we just spent the whole summer learning about all these wonderful ideas that people all over the world and all over BC have been giving us. And to just stick with MMP and STV without even talking about some of the other great ideas that we saw seems to me to be a bit close-minded.
Could ask, Craig, for example.
Just grab one off the front desk there. V123, none of the above. I mean, all these, they're all different ideas.
Sam.
How about a system to be named later?
Don't know how to build it, but I think we give Douglas another shot at this, and then Darren.
I know the first past the post system doesn't allow for the proportional value that we have all established. I wasn't here 2 weeks ago, but I know it doesn't allow for that. But I'm going to come back to another concern that I addressed with a minister. I spoke to one of our MLAs and a minister back in June, and I asked him, how are you going to help us advertise, promote, and educate the people of BC about whatever system we come up with? And I asked him, can you go back to caucus and suggest that you confirm prior to September 1st money be allocated toward advertising to whatever we come up with? Because once September 1st or the 11th goes by, we've indicated now we want some sort of proportionality, some sort of local representation. If what we come up with is sort of leading in one direction and our current provincial government is not in agreement with it, they may not forward that money and commit that money to advertising. They needed to commit that money before the 11th of September of this year to show that whatever we come up with, they're going to support either way. And that education is going to take place either way, whether it's a modified first past the post or either the two we've talked about here this afternoon. And that's still a big concern with me, and it didn't happen. So, where am I leading to? If we go with a system change that's quite drastic from what we currently have, and we don't have money to advertise and to educate the public, my concern, like John mentioned earlier, is that this is all going to be for naught because that referendum may not be passed. Thank you.
Who's the next? Mo. Mo and then Darren and Jack and Derek, and then we're going to kind of close this off a little bit. Okay, Cherie. Mo, where are you? Okay, Mo.
When I joined this assembly, I considered a mandate that we will try to come up with a system that is best for BC. Comes December 15th, I think my job is complete. I don't care what other people do with it. My is over. I do not care what the government will spend or don't spend, how people respond. I'm not a politician. I'm here to do according to the mandate, and that is to come up with the best possible system. That's all. I can't read other people's minds what they may do.
Jack, you're next.
I'm just wondering about the degree of specificity we need to come down to in doing this design stuff to comply with our mandate, which requires us to spell it out in some detail, I think is the wording, something like that. I mean, a couple of options. We could recommend something like, to take an STV one, district magnitude that varies across the province from 3 to 7, depending on, various circumstances. We could talk about an MMP system that talked about some ratio of list to constituency seats, and we would specify what the ratio is on the one hand. We could talk about, let's say, the desirability for the list seats to be regionally allocated and open. So that's one level of decision that would specify. Is that satisfactory, or do we have to go so far, as some of the submissions we received went, as to basically redraw the electoral map and say there should be 62 constituency seats and 27 list seats, this sort of stuff? Because I'm very worried if we have to go that far to comply with our mandate that basically we're turning ourselves into an electoral boundary commission. I don't think we have, A, the time, and B, the expertise to do that. So I'm just wondering if people are on the same page in terms of the level of specificity that satisfies our mandate.
I mean, my response to that, Jack, would be that you kind of make these principal decisions so that it's quite clear to the what the system's principles and operating practices are. But you're not a boundary commission. That's right. You say that, that there has to be 40% have to be on the list and 60% have to be in the constituencies. Then a boundary commission has to deal with the problem of drawing those constituencies. If you want to have regional lists, you might want to indicate what they look like, but you're not going to say, well, 1 mile north of Kamloops and then et cetera, et cetera. That's just a very time-consuming and difficult job. But you do have to make decisions on kind of the essence of the fundamental choices in these various categories for these two kinds of systems. And that in itself is a pretty big job.
No, I agree entirely, and I'm comforted to hear that that is your view of what would satisfy our mandate, too. And I just want to make sure that everybody is sort of thinking along the same lines, because if we're trying to go farther than that, I think we're in big, big trouble.
Right. Derek.
Thanks. Mo said exactly half of what I was going to say, so I'll say the other half. He said it very well. And we really have to be careful in talking about the referendum to not make assumptions about the voters of the province. And I think that the province will rise to the occasion. We understand these things. They weren't too complex for us. And granted, there is self-selection in the process, but we are, in effect, a cross-section of the province, and we've managed to grasp what we're talking about here. And I think we're creating a bit of a straw person argument by suggesting that there's a mythical voter opinion that we need to cater to. It's not our job, and which is what Mo said, and it's really unfair to the province to say that they can only take so much or we have to dumb it down for them. It's really unfair.
Sherry. Okay, and then Jay.
I just wanted to respond to Douglas's comments about selling our decision to the province. And I had a conversation with Mr. Fogel at coffee this morning, and he really clarified this for me because I've been struggling with it. He said to me that doing this work and putting forward a recommendation to the people of the province, we cannot fail because it's their decision to make. And if they say, no, we're going to stick with the status quo, then we have fulfilled our responsibility and they have made their choice.
Douglas, a little
may bit. I respond? I just want to make it clear that it's not so much selling, but if we come up with a system that is quite a bit different than the current system we have, the people need to know what that system is that they're going to be voting on in the referendum. And I'm purely talking about not selling. I'm talking about educating, making sure they know. You can call it selling if you want. You can twist the words. But the people of our province must understand when they go to the poll what they're voting on, because they can't read the whole thing on a ballot. They have to understand basically what the concepts are behind that new electoral system, and that's going to come out in the, you know, the newspaper ads, television ads, whatever. And so when they get to the poll, they have some background knowledge. It would be unfair to the people of the province if they were not given that opportunity to know.
Anna Leanne. So I'm going to close this off pretty soon.
I agree with Douglas's point that obviously it's a concern. We want to make sure that everyone does understand what it is we're putting forward. But I also feel this assembly is a chance, the first chance, for power to be with the people, which is represented in us. And it's extremely important that we put forward the system that we feel is best for BC, and that should be our bottom line.
Okay, Leanne?
You can't be scared. If we decide that that a different system is the best system, you can't be scared to put it forward just because it might not go through. And people vote on things that they don't know about all the time. You can't help that. That's not our problem either. So you just can't be scared. If it's what we decide is best, we should do what's best, not what's easiest.
So Hardy, Leanne said it for you?
No. Okay. I'll keep it short. For Douglas, I will say that if you look under the mixed member umbrella, you may find that system that you can tinker with as far as SMP, and that's PR Lite or mixed PR Lite, whatever you want to call it. I would also like to say, just on a logistics thing of looking at this and trying to build a system, that what I just said about MMP, it has such a variety of 50-50 list versus, update list, that we need to address our values there and try to go in a direction there, or try. I can't. It's so hard to try to build that system because there's such a variety of views on the proportionality part of that, and I can see us getting bogged down there. And we may need some help in trying to get to what that proportionality level is, because you can go as low as 1/8 or right up to 50%. But they create totally different systems in how they work.
You bet, and that's what you're going to discuss in detail in your discussion groups and bring this back to plenary and see where the groups are and debate this. I mean, those are very, very critical decisions that have been outlined by Ken and Campbell here today. I believe that I'm trying to read the crowd, as I think Darren suggested I try to do, whether I'm reading it right or not. I believe that we're ready to move on to the next decision and make a decision about those options which we will build, the option A, option B, and perhaps an option C, the best systems for BC. I read that we have two on the floor that the members would support. One is STV, a form of STV, and one is some form of mixed member proportional. I have not read, do we have that? Do we have support for those building the best for those two? Yes? Okay. Do we have support for Douglas's proposition that we build a third, which is a variant of the first past the post? How much support do we have for that? 5. I don't believe 6. I don't believe that's strong enough. But I think the comment, Douglas, that was made, I believe, by your friend in the red T-shirt over there is a good one, is that MMP is a big tent. Lots of things can be done under that, and we have an awful lot to do over the next couple of weeks in terms of building these two systems. We have another decision to make, and that is, which one do we tackle first? And Ken has a favorite, by the way, but it's your choice. And Ken, would you like to explain why you would prefer one sequence over another and then put it to the members for a vote? Or we can toss a coin.
Well, the only reason I suggested to Jack is that we might start with STV is that there's a lot fewer decisions to be made. We saw what there's 5 basic kinds of things, and in some sense, sitting down, kind of working through that first, is just easier. We're going to start a process that no one ever has tried to do before. Have 160 people invent an electoral system, and there are four or five kind of key decisions. If you look at the mixed system, there are five decisions there, and then there's six plus six is 12, 13 or 14 decisions. And they combine in so many different ways, as Harley said, all the way from a mixed member virtual majority to proportional. And there's all kinds of range of possibilities for expanding local representation or shrinking it or expanding the proportional part. And that, I guess my suggestion to Jack would be to start with the simpler one in the decisions, not necessarily a simpler system or a simpler one to understand, but just in the kind of the tasks that you have, kind of work through that. And the idea was that you go into discussion groups and in the discussion groups work through these points, then come back in the plenary and have a debate. I mean, if when we come back into a plenary, we'll have a debate in a mixed system on what kind of constituency seats. And the group as a whole has to decide that. The discussion groups allow you to kind of think about, well, kind of what's the behind-the-scenes kinds of consequences of going this way or that way, the kind of things that, in fact, we listed at the beginning of this afternoon, the kind of things David talked about just before the break, that underlie those kind of decisions. So, but if you want to start with the mixed system,
I'm going to suggest that you vote on this, that you either choose to start with STV, which we can start on this afternoon and perhaps maybe finish by noon tomorrow. Then the third week we review it and work on MMP. Or I have got the... we're going to vote. We're going to vote. No, the vote is not going to be for either system because we don't want that yet. We're going to vote on whether we go with STV first or toss a coin. Hardy.
Could I just like to speak on a little bit of experience that many of the members have already had, and I'm speaking of the discussion forum that's online, and we have had pretty intense debates on there, and in looking at this idea, we've had a harder time with MMP, and it is very difficult to put together, so it will need, I believe, more time. So going by that discussion forum, I would sense out there that you should know that, and I'd also recommend that people read the discussion forum as well.
So should we have a vote on going with the STV first, yes or no? Okay, just a minute. We're going to use buttons. Chris, we're going to use buttons, okay? Yes? Question? Yes, Vanell.
Can I just step back for a minute? This isn't necessarily my opinion, but from listening to the discussions that we've had today, you said we're looking at STV and MMP, and then you asked, is there support for Doug's suggestion of tinkering with the current system? But can you also put out, is there a third system anybody else would like to suggest we look at? Because you haven't made that question to the whole group yet.
I can make that question.
I don't know if there's an answer or not. But
well, it's probably a mixed system, but do you have one? Well, I will ask that then, because Julie, same question.
This is what I was trying to get at before, saying MMP or STV. The STV part is pretty simple, but the MMP part is not simple. So maybe by leaving it for another and seeing if people have concrete combinations that they would like to bring forth. But at this point in time, unless somebody says we have an absolute concrete, we want to look at the New Zealand system plus...
That's true. Then we can, again, revisit that decision next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Darren?
On the online discussion forum, there was a thread of discussion about alternate electoral systems besides the two that have received the most debate so far. And if I recall correctly, not very much was posted on that thread. I don't know if maybe it didn't have much discussion, or maybe people who have a suggestion for an alternate symbol system don't have access to that discussion forum. But I would just like to suggest that perhaps now, if there are other systems that do need or should have more consideration, that members bring them forward.
Do you have them? And we've talked about Douglas's suggestion. We can also revisit this again. I mean, we can next week, after you're working on STV for a while, or if that's what you're working on first, bring something else up. We can work on it. Yes?
Perhaps that's something that could be discussed in the forum tonight.
Okay. Are you ready to vote on this? So the vote, the question is this. Shall we begin with STV, yes or no? And if it's yes, we begin with STV. If it's no, what we do is we flip a coin and we do heads or tails. Okay? Is that fair? Okay. We're ready for the... Now, the buttons should start to flick. Are they? Okay. Vote. Yes. Yes is top button. No is second button. Give us the readout up there, Chris. Well, it's pretty clear. Yes is 131. No is 15. We start with STV. Okay?
Can I put that back up on the screen?
Could we put the other one back up?
Okay. Well, what we're... Here. Kind of suggesting is that then that people go into groups and maybe spend a good part of the rest of the afternoon on it. We can come back in the plenary tomorrow and work through these things. You know, what are your views on what district magnitudes ought to be? What would be reasonable? What are the consequences of that? I think the facilitators will have more information. Campbell's handed some out. And just kind of go through them systematically. And if we can get that done this afternoon, then maybe tomorrow morning we can come back in plenary and see whether... Out of those discussions comes a general perception of what such a system might look like.
Can you just wait one sec before you leave? Coffee is served around 3 o'clock in the concourse and on the third floor, so it's kind of closer to the discussion rooms. Do you have any last questions on administrative matters? Because we will now go into plenary groups for the rest of the afternoon, discussion groups, and we will meet, of course, for those who wish to, this evening at 7:15, but we're back here at 8:30 tomorrow morning right here in plenary to see how the discussion groups are going. Okay? See you later.